Chapter 38. Beard not a lion in his den, but fashion the secret pitfall. M. F. Tupper, 1839. Zeke, I have to take this to the police right away, he said. No way. No way, man. Come on, just let me borrow it. I promise I'll return it. Yeah, like you promised me an Hawaiian shirt. It's coming. Zeke, do you know who the guy in this photograph is? No, who is he? I thought all you'd be interested in is who the two girls are. That's Joey Kay. He took the magazine back and looked at it. That's him, huh? I never actually met the dude. I said, bet you didn't know he went to Columbia either. He said, you're kidding me. You're kidding. He's also the guy who murdered Beverly Martindale. Zeke said, how do you know that? Because he has bite marks from her teeth right here on his trapezius, where she bit him just before he strangled her. And less than 4 hours ago, he attempted to do the same thing to me in the rowing room. He would have succeeded, too, if the crew team hadn't shown up for their morning practice. You're kidding me? Zeke said, did Monica kill her sister? I said, I have no idea, but she's mixed up in this some way. That's why I have to take it to the police right now. What about your exam? I'm skipping it. It'll have to wait. Can you afford to? I'm not worried about that now. Come on, do me this favor. Let me borrow this, and while we're at it, walk me to the subway. Reluctantly, he handed it over. I insist on getting this back, he said. You will. As we went along, I took further note of the change in the weather and the fact that my stocking cap was now superfluous. If last night's major snowfall had been the grand performance, it looked like Mother Nature was now busily striking her set. The bright sun, combined with a balmy southerly wind, was causing icicles to drip merrily off the eaves, and the snowpack to collapse like a fallen souffle. Ahead of us on Broadway, the plow trucks had switched to rubber-tipped blades to squeegee the slush. Zeke said, anyway, I'm sorry I got you tangled up with Joey Kay. But I warned you about fooling around downtown, didn't I? I said, yeah, you warned me. It's not your fault. That's right. I agree. It's not. I said, next time I'd appreciate it, though, if you would also warn me to stay away from girls like Monica Martindale. He said, when it comes to that, I think we were both hormonally duped. I said, yeah, duped is right. He said, but in your case, you also succumb because you think you're Kid Galahad. Chivalry is the stupid flaw in your makeup. He said, I'm just the same, but in another way. I said, why? What do you mean? Sometimes when I come across one like that, I get so entranced, so enamored. I said, what do you mean like that? What are we talking about? He said, women. Pretty women. Oh, sometimes I get so walloped, I turn around instantly and start following them up the sidewalk. I said, did you follow Monica? He said, what? No, I'm just saying she's an example of the kind of female I would have behaved that way towards. So I sympathize with why you got snookered. At the subway entrance, I expected him to say goodbye, but protectively, he continued down the steps with me. He was being uncharacteristically maternal, the underside of all that pretend gruffness. On the crossover platform, the multitude of feet, shod in boots and shoes of every description, had tracked snow into the underground, where it was speedily converted to slush and ultimately water. The heaviest foot traffic led directly to the turnstiles, less so to the ticket booth. The only dry areas on the cement platform were to either side of the booth. Zeke went and stood there while I bought my pass. In the distance, the faint rumble of a southbound train was just beginning to announce its imminent arrival. As I returned to Zeke, I noted the concern on his face.
"You sure you don't want me to go with you? You look wrung out, man."
I said, "No thanks."
"You sure? Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm all right. I'm pretty good, actually. But thanks anyway."
This statement was at least partly true. As a result of the impromptu chiropractic treatment Joey K. had given me, I had recovered more of my ability to look left and to roll my head. In fact, my neck now felt the freest it had since the night of the clubbing. Just then, I happened to glance down at the line of wet shoe prints leading up to where Zeke was standing. It was then that I had what Yogi Berra referred to as deja vu all over again. I said, "Zeke?" He said, "What?" "It was you?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Last night. Did you follow Monica Martindale?" "What are you talking about? Did you follow Monica Martindale to Butler and then hide out in the stacks?"
"No."
"Were you outside Low Library on the night Beverly Martindale was murdered?"
"No, of course not."
"I think you were."
"Why would you think that?"
I said, "Because I saw those same shoe prints outside the hedgerow just before I came upon Beverly Martindale's body." He said,
"Maybe you did. So what? It wasn't me."
I said, "Zeke, those are very unique shoe prints." He answered, "They're not so unique. Don't you have a pair too?" Then it dawned on him, "Oh, right, you were off surfing Hawaii then, weren't you?"
"What? What are you talking about?"
The rumble of the train was increasing. The station platform began to tremble beneath our feet. Zeke had to speak up.
"Last year, a truck pulled up on College Walk and sold these factory seconds out of the back for peanuts. Not a thing wrong with them except that one little defect, but who cares about that? Here's your train, you better run."